I'd like now to welcome Bettina Milliken. She's an art therapist. She's founder of the Santa Fe Clown Care Group. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. Now, what is clown care?
Clown care, I was introduced to through the Big Apple Circus, where they have a professional clown care unit. And it started by Michael Christensen, who had a very ill brother in the hospital, and he was so depressed with how the hospital, how he was living in the hospital, that he, being a professional clown, went in and dealt with him, and it just cheered up, I think, everybody around, including the staff. And so at the Big Apple Circus, of which I was a board member for 11 years, they started the professional clown care unit, and they go to 13 hospitals a week by now. So by the time I came to Santa Fe, I had been with them. I had gone on rounds with them. And then I met Patch Adams. And I met with Patch Adams. I went to Russia 3 times.
Now tell our audience who Patch Adams is.
Patch Adams is an activist and a doctor, a medical doctor, who would like to change also the way medicine is being dealt with and the relationship between the medical staff and the patients, as well as the staff within the medical institutions. And he is an absolutely remarkable performer and a very creative clown. And when I met him, I was very inspired, went with him to Russia, and it was an incredibly inspiring experience.
And a movie was made about him.
A movie was made about him because he is really a very talented performer and exceedingly funny. And I have seen him, I really think I have seen him bring people to life.
Now, are you a clown yourself?
I then was so inspired that I decided I can do this. And I grew up in Switzerland in the circus world with great enthusiasm. And I have watched many, many clowns, and I think clowns are magical creatures who very sensitively bring out the vulnerability of humanity in a most charming way, and that is what really interests me the most. Now, I'm not sure whether clownery is seen that way in the United States, but I know that in Europe, clowns are sort of great artists, and certainly in Russia.
When you say you grew up in Switzerland in a circus environment, were your parents circus performers?
By no means. I was just an absolute, avid, passionate lover of circus. And the circus came to my hometown over every Easter. And we just went Saturday evening before Easter, we went to the circus show at night, which was very special. And I was just hanging around the circus tent, hoping that the circus director's son would marry me, but that never happened. So anyhow, and I then did, because I was so passionate about circus arts, I did go to their children's circus, and I performed in the children's circus on top of doing voltige in horses. So I did that. But I never went to clown school or anything. So I just sort of picked it out of my pocket and started.
So describe the process for us wherein a clown goes to a hospital and starts clowning. Now, are they dressed with a big round nose and big fuzzy hair and huge shoes and a spotted costume and stuff like that?
I think everybody does it their own way. My belief is very much that they should be cheerful.
But they're recognizable as a clown. I mean,
they look different.
Regalia. Yeah.
I look entirely different. You wouldn't recognize me if you saw me as a clown, per se. I don't wear makeup because I don't like it, but I always have a red nose, and I have very colorful, again, cheerful, sparkly things to wear. So then when I walk in, that it's not obvious that I am either man or woman, that I'm just sort of this creature who comes from... Where does she come from, or he? Where does this creature come from? And when you come in, when I went with Michael Christensen, he trained me very well to be extremely sensitive, because you never know what situation you walk into. It's not that you come and give a performance, per se. You really go to rooms, from room to room, and you meet all kinds of people in any sort of condition, and you have to be very sensitive to that and see whether you are welcome in. So you sort of stand at the room, and maybe music is a big media with which you can connect.
Now, does the hospital, I mean, do they engage you? Do they hire you?
No.
Do you just show up without their knowing that you're coming?
Well, I've been doing this since 93, and so here in Santa Fe, they know me. And my population that I'm mostly dealing with is nursing homes and assisted living and many dementia and Alzheimer population. And the hospital here, I've been once or twice, but I'm really mostly now in nursing homes.
So you show up in the nursing home, and what do you do, and how do people respond?
I usually walk in playing the recorder so that the sound precedes me, and I watch them, how they react. And everybody, when they hear a recorder, they hear the sound, and they just sort of say, what is this? And then I would say really 98% everybody... 98% of all the people, they really look at me with a big smile on their face, or they burst out laughing, or they say, who are you? What are you doing? And then, again, according to the condition they're in, whether they're very tired or whether they're agitated or whether they are very sad or very depressed, I either sit next to them or I kneel down to them or I touch them. Some are blind, some can't hear, so you have to adapt to all these conditions. But the most important part is that you really reach out in a very gentle, kind way. And again, 98% it works. Some people are really in a place where they don't want to deal with you, and then you bow and you move on.
Do you tend to go to the same places over and over? Do you start to get to know the patients or the residents of one of these places that you visit?
Indeed, I do. I have been, as I said, since 93, which is now 22 years. In some places, some people have been there for almost that long. And I definitely have a relationship with them. Again, being in the condition they're in, which is dementia, they may not always remember, but I certainly remember their name, and which is really very sweet when I call their name or say, how do you know me? Or over the time, you have this relationship with them, and they tell you what they've been doing through their life. So when I tell them, oh, you have been doing this or that, they say, oh, how nice, how do you remember? And then you really sort of have them, and then you have a wonderful dialogue with them or conversation with them or interpersonal, really, relationship with them.
And in that relationship, are you still in your clown persona?
Yes, always.
And so what does that mean? How does that change between the clown persona and the Bettina who's sitting here with me?
I speak probably a bit differently, a different voice. My name isn't Bettina. I go under Teenie. And I'm just always on a playful, silly place wherever we can bring smiles to their face or feel that they are happy to be with me or just ease up on their current condition. That's my main goal.
Do you feel like the work has long-term effects? I mean, when you talk about people who are deep in a state of boredom, depression, and hopelessness, and then this clown comes on a regular basis, do you see changes that you think are caused by that work?
I think for the time that I'm there, yes. There was recently somebody who said to me what I also want to talk about is be realistic. I don't want to say everything is fine. There was a lady who was very upset, and she said, it really is miserable here. And I said, I know. However, there's probably, but you're warm and you're taken care of. And she says, yes, I am. Therefore, I'm not really complaining, but it really is kind of miserable. And so then I sort of said, old age really sucks. And she said, it really does, and burst out laughing. And so then we got the whole thing on a cheerful way. And I do also want to be realistic about it, that it really is not a very happy place to be, but one has to make the best out of it, and that life is impermanent, and I do, if the condition or situation lends itself, I'd be very happy to talk about that. But at the end of the conversation we had, she was so sweet. She said she was just wondering whether maybe she could hire me to live with her full time. And things like this happen all the time. So yeah. I really think when I walk in, many of them say, they just hold on and they say, oh, how wonderful, we love you, we love you. They do. I mean, it's a very fulfilling, affectionate business, so to speak.
What's the musical part of it?
I think music is one thing that all these people remember, and You Are My Sunshine is one of the songs that will always reach them. I've had people hum the words or sing along with the words really when they were really in bad shape, and they really start singing, and it's just wonderful, and they always love to sing. Music is reaches the soul.
Do you kind of look at them and determine what their era was and choose the song accordingly?
Yes, I do. And they're all relatively old, so, you know, you're on my Let Me Call You Sweetheart and things like this. They just come to life. Some of them get weepy and remember things, and it just really, for a moment, it just brings them out, and it they really, I feel their soul comes to life for a little bit. I also started a clown chorus because I sing in the symphony, and so through the people in the symphony we got together a little clown chorus, and we go once a month and have a gig, and then we do have a performance, and then we urge on everybody to sing along, and that's is a very happy affair.
Do you have a training where if somebody wants to be a clown or do this kind of work, they can learn how to do it?
I could do that. I could train. Do I have one going? No, I do not.
So the people who are doing it, because you're not the only one. I mean, this clown group is around six clowns. Are they all trained clowns?
The one in the clown chorus? No, they're just trained singers. But they're not trained clowns. And it's really for people who are like-minded and who like to be playful and cheerful. Otherwise, it really doesn't work.
Is there anything else you want to tell people about this clown care group?
Well, I'm certainly always interested in people who are looking for that kind of outreach to people. Again, it's really not for everybody. It needs a very flexible mind and a very adaptive way of being. And you have to be incredibly sensitive to the people you're visiting. But when it works, I do really feel that you give a little bit of life to that person for a little bit of time. And it is an incredibly wonderful thing to be able to do, and it's very creative. So anybody who's willing to do something like this, I'd be very happy to meet. And also anybody who's into music and singing, I can always have help there.
If somebody wants to reach you, how do they do so?
They can get to my email, or can reach me through my email, and that's bina@bettinanet.com.
And also you are at smilingpottery.com, and they can reach you there?
Smilingpottery.com is my website for the pottery that I do, which comes out of my clowning, which is pottery all in smiles. And they could probably reach me there, but I think email is definitely the better way.
Bettina Milliken is an art therapist, and she is founder of the Santa Fe Clown Care Group. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.